saw a couple of things from the Arizona Coyotes official Twitter account. Number one, John Chyka and Rick Tocchet were back at Gila River Arena today to donate blood, which has been a great thing that all of our local sports organizations have really stepped up to help organize during this pandemic, because obviously there's a real shortage there. I'm looking at a picture right now of Talk wearing his mask, getting ready to give blood. And then the Coyotes tweeted out a picture of the ice reinstalled at Gila River Arena with the words, "A beautiful sight," attached to that tweet.
The ice is back.
The ice is back.
Yeah.
And joining us right now,
a guy who gave a lot of blood over his NHL career. He actually took a lot of blood, too.
I don't know, Rick.
I think he took more blood than he gave,
though. Did you take more than you gave over the course of your career? That's a great question from my co-host here.
That is a great question. I mean, I don't know. I put it this way. I got a lot of stitches over the years. A lot of stitches.
Wendell Clark, Brent May, Scott Stevens. I'm just going through them. I mean, Cam Neely, Adam Burt, Mark Tenorti, Scott Stevens, Wendell Clark, Brad May. Whew, man.
Gave a lot of blood.
You took a lot of blood. Took a lot of blood.
Yeah. Rick Tocchet, head coach of the Coyotes, our guest here. And, of course, the NHL with their big announcement yesterday that it's going to be 24 teams in the playoffs when the season resumes. We don't know when. We don't know where. We know there are 8 pod cities that are being considered, and it will come down ultimately to 2 of them. What was your reaction to the structure of this talk and how this is going to look when you guys return? Were you fairly pleased with how this turned out for your organization?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there was a lot of different discussions how to make this work. I was talking to Derek Steppen today, you know, whatever decision they went, you're always going to have an unhappy team or an unhappy player. So, obviously, you know, we're biased and we're excited about the chance. I mean, there's still a lot of hurdles to go through to get to this plan. But obviously the light in the tunnel, everybody agreeing on this format. Now it's about, you know, agreeing on phase 2 and phase 3, which would be, you know, the players getting on their own and then the training camp. There's a lot of hurdles to go, but at least there's a light.
How did you feel at season's end? You guys were 4 points out. Some of those teams in front of you had a game in hand, but you still had, you know, you still had 10, 12 games left to make up some of that ground.
Yeah, there's 24 points available. We had, eight home games. I liked the way we were playing at home. You know, had a tough couple of losses there in Calgary and in Winnipeg before the halt. Remember Colorado last year? They were, you know, the same position we were with 12 games out, and I think they went on a 10-1-1 run. And then, obviously they upset Calgary, I think it was. So, you know, anytime you have an opportunity and you get a chance, and which we have, and they agree upon the plan, you have an opportunity, and it's who can come together the quickest, and like I said before, the runway's short because you know once it starts, you dive right into it. There's no like October, November regular season. It starts. You're going right into it. So we're happy for the opportunity.
I heard Derek on with Bickley and Murata earlier today. I'm glad you referenced him. The hurdles that are still to be cleared, the mountains that are still to be climbed, can you clear them? Are these mountains climbable? Do you feel good about your sport's ability to kind of answer these unanswered questions so that you guys can get back on the ice when it's time to do it?
Yeah, I think there's boxes to be checked. You know, how many people are allowed in the building, how many people – you know, we'll be on a bench. Like, how, you know, what cities? When can you see your family? I mean, there's a lot of different boxes. I think once you get through a couple of hurdles here and there, I think you can check off, you know, a few at a time. You know, the testing protocol, how do you do that? So that's kind of really what's going on now, guys. I don't know the pace so that they can check all these boxes. I know, you know, they were talking about a, you know, early August start. So if that's the case, you know, obviously these boxes have to start getting checked off fairly quick, but in a safe manner. Because, you know, first of all, we want to create a safe environment for our players before we even do anything. And that's kind of the protocol of every NHL team.
Tuck, this is uncharted territory. I mean, it really is. It's it's unknown. How many of your guys left the United States to go home?
Yeah, so we had about four or five the Europeans that went, some guys in Sweden. We had about, during this quarantine, about at least 12 guys stay here. And I think that's a large number than most NHL teams. So a lot of guys love the community, and just they felt the safest place was to be here in Arizona. You know, now it's about, you know, if phase two does open up and they have the you know, the player only kind of workouts and they get to use our facility, how do you get guys back into the country and back to the city safely? So yeah, we had a bunch of guys stay here and they're still here, which is nice.
The thing I was thinking about with the play-in style, I almost think, and I want to see if you agree, I think it's almost an advantage to be playing rather than sitting. So the teams that are going to be in the, you know, the play-in type bracket, you know, you're going to be able to knock that rust off a lot quicker than, you know, than anybody that may get a bye or not play as many games. I mean, do you think that's an advantage for you?
Well, I think anytime you can get to that, you know, it's a great point, Gamble. Anytime you get that competitive level quicker, you know, you're off for 2 months, I don't care who you are, you lose that competitive edge. You know, you're trying to find that Michael Jordan competitive level, right? And you know, is it better to play, you know, right away? You know, yeah, I mean, I guess, we're going to play in the first, apparently, is the National Predators, and teams get by. So I don't know which is better. All I know is, you know, which team can find that competitive level the quickest after having this layoff.
Would you anticipate in having to go right to the playoffs, just playing Darcy and just going with him and riding him as long as you can? Or do you think you play the goalies on and off a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. You know, I've talked to Corey Schwab about this. I definitely know that we're lucky because we have two goalies that are capable. I think we're going to need both of them. You know, maybe if it was a long season and then you had some rest and you can play a goalie, you know, throughout the playoffs. I'm not quite sure in this scenario what we're going to do, but they're both going to be available, and that's a huge plus because I think, you know, I think we got one of the best two, you know, one combo in the league, and they're both healthy. Like everybody, all the NHL teams, pretty well all the players are healthy now, and which we are too. And having two healthy goalies is just huge at the caliber of goalies we have.
Rick Tocchet, head coach of the Coyotes, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. It was announced yesterday that when the NHL returns, that the Coyotes would be one of the teams that would be vying to qualify for the playoffs by playing basically a best of five against, and we know the opponent, it's going to be the Nashville Predators. From a health standpoint, and knowing that some of these guys are overseas and you've got to really look at everybody before you can truly know, where are you health-wise from guys who were injured going into the layoff and coming out? What sort of availability do you expect when it comes to your roster when this thing starts?
Yeah, I think we're almost at 100% capacity. Most, you know, I think a lot of guys that, you know, you're allowed to have the rehab guys, and I think the, you know, 2 months of rehab really helped a lot of those guys. So that part is good. You know, it's tough to monitor guys that, you know, even here, you know, you didn't have a lot of contact with players, where, you know, how guys have done the last 2 months physically, how they're doing, if they're in shape. But, you know, the mental part is the really X factor for me. You know, the mental toughness of this is going to really be tested. So, you know, I really feel that players through this, you know, were safe, but they try to keep themselves in shape in case there was some kind of, season starting, and which, you know, we're starting to get to that level. But I, like I said, I don't want to put the cart before the horse because there is definitely some hurdles that we have to go overcome.
You know, my fear, talk would be, and I'll use a boxing analogy. You know, when I train for fights, yeah. when you train for a fight, you never want to peak too early. You don't want to have your best fights in sparring, right? You want to make sure you fight your best on fight night. And I think with the short amount of time, you're going to have to come back and get ready. it's imperative not, you know, you want to get everybody up to date, but you don't want to go too hard to the point where they don't peak at the right time. It's a that's a slippery slope because,
yeah.
And I'll tell you, there were some times when I would have my best fight in sparring 2 weeks before the fight, and then, you know, then you start going downhill. So it's important to peak at the right time. So how do you balance that to get the guys ready without pushing them and too hard and burning them out?
Yeah, that's a great point because you got to use some science in it. You know, you got to use some science. What's the best way? You know, when we have our hands on these guys, you know, if we have a 21-day training camp, like how do we simulate some scrimmage, like you said, some sparring stuff? But how do you give them enough rest time? How do you, you know, how do you get them in a competitive battle so they're not they're not rusty when we go in the first game? So. Yeah, a little bit of science, a little bit of experience that I went through as a player that would, obviously some feedback from some of the players. But, yeah, that's something we're working on now, Gambo, because, like you said, that's a great point. You know, you don't want to peak too early, especially when, you know, once the first game starts, you don't really have a lot of time to warm up. You better be ready for the first game because, these are short series and you could be out in, 6 days.
Tak, have you gotten any indication of when the next season would begin? I know the NBA is looking at Christmas time. If you guys are going to play in August and into September, I mean, it throws all of this 2020-2021 season into a flux. What's your anticipation of when you guys would begin the next season?
I don't want to. I've heard some stuff, and I don't want to speculate, but sometime.
No, speculate, please. Just speculate. I'm not going to hold you to it.
Sometimes after Thanksgiving, like early December type of thing. That's what some people have been talking about. So you'd have obviously the Stanley Cup winner, and then you'd probably have another, month or 2 months of off season again, and then start it back up. And I don't know how they would do the condensed season. But that's what they're looking. You have to make sure you give it, the teams, especially the teams that go far, some time to rest. You can't go right into the season. I know it's unfair for some teams they're not in this thing, so they just got to go right into December. That's a long time. So I don't know. There's no fair system. I think, you just got to pick something that, that's safe for the players and you go with until we catch up to this thing.
Yeah. Tak, good stuff. Good to hear your voice. Glad to hear you're doing well. We appreciate the time, and we're happy you guys have a plan. I hope it comes to fruition. It looks good if it does, and I'm sure we'll talk to you a little closer to when it does become a reality, all right?
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.